Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Yeah. 9:16 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop, Kevin Off, and our producer Jonathan Schaefer. And let's bring in our buddy Jason Stark from The Athletic, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Jason, good morning.
Morning, Mark. Morning, Blaine.
Good morning.
All right. Did the Mets keep Mickey Callaway just to torment him more? or are they going to get him out of his misery soon after his run-in with the media? And then we find out that that the front office is making moves for him on the field.
You know, there's kind of a rule of thumb in the industry. Whatever the Mets are doing when a crisis hits, don't do that. Do the opposite. And never more than this week. I don't even know where to start. Like, you can't do what the manager did, and then when you're asked if you wished you'd done something different, say, yeah, you wish you'd never walked to the food room. No! You can't do what Jason Vargas did, threaten a reporter with physical abuse, and then not even say you were wrong, you were sorry, whatever. You got to take some responsibility for that. And, you know, let's talk about the manager. I've always liked Mickey Callaway, but I've seen this movie before in New York. I've seen it in Philly, where I live. Guy walks into that job full of confidence, so sure of how he's going to do this, how he's going to manage the media and handle the clubhouse and deal with the pressure. And a couple of years down the road, the walls are closing in. When you look at him, you almost think the expression on his face, the tone of his voice, are saying, get me out of here. And that's Mickey Callaway. He's not going to survive. He knows that he's feeling it, and it's hard to watch.
What about how neat was the return of Albert Pujols to St. Louis? I mean, you know, not a better fan base than the Cardinals, but Albert returning to Busch Stadium and feeling the love.
I love moments like that, events like that, for one thing, because they remind us of what we've been watching when we've been watching this player. And when we've been watching Albert Pujols, we're watching one of the greatest hitters who ever lived. I think you could argue that the discussion of who was the greatest right-handed hitter ever might just be Albert and Willie Mays. Might be. You know, I could drag a couple other guys in there, but he's top five for sure. And it's a reminder of what he meant in that town. I've covered baseball a long time. I can remember only a couple of times in my life where a visiting player hit a home run and got a curtain call from the visiting fans. And Albert earned all that love. It was awesome. I thought the whole thing was awesome.
Something not awesome, if you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan, is the whole proposal about playing half their home games in Montreal and the other half in Tampa St. Pete. And if you're a Rays fan, why would you spend another dime on a ticket when their intent is obvious?
You know, I was really shocked by that. It's a bad idea. It's got no chance of happening. I understand what's in it for them. You know, there'd be a lot more revenue in it. But if their idea was, we're going to fire this shot over the bow in Tampa and St. Pete and say, hey, build us a stadium or else. Well, that one didn't work. And if it's Major League Baseball's thinking that by at least approving this tentatively to the point where they can at least talk to Montreal about it, if that's going to get a ballpark built in Montreal, I don't think that's going to work. They're not going to build a park so a team can play half a season there. And I just don't understand the logic here. This can't happen. There's no way this could ever happen. The union couldn't ever agree to it. I can't imagine a free agent ever signing with a team that plays in two cities 1,300 miles apart. What was this?
We're speaking to Jason Stark, of course, from The Athletic.
Well, some teams we have no question about is the Red Sox and the Yankees. They're playing in London, man. How, Jason, is this a hot ticket? Is a lot of people, are a lot of people going?
It's a really hot ticket. You know, Blaine, globalization is a really big word inside the commissioner's office these days. And if you think about it, they've been to a lot of places. They've been to Japan, and they've been to San Juan, and they've been to Mexico, and they've been around the world. They have never played in Europe. They've seen the success that the NFL's had in London, and they want in. You know, those NFL games are events. If you want to have an event, you want to attract attention, bring the Yankees and Red Sox with you. That'll work, yeah. You know, and it's working. There's incredible buzz from what I hear, and I'm amazed that they were able to convince those teams to make this trip in season. But I love that they were, and I love that it's happening.
Man. How bad are the Orioles? Me and Mark probably play for them, or at least for an inning.
Might be able to pitch for them. Right. Could you keep the ball in the park? They're giving up two home runs a game. Now, average. They're going to break the all-time record for home runs allowed in a season by, pick a number, 70. 75, 100, I don't know. Never seen anything like this. And here's the other amazing thing to keep in mind is they lost 115 games last year. There has never been a team that lost that many games one year and lost more games the next year.
No.
But they're headed in that direction. And I don't even think they mind. But careful what you wish for. That's all I can say.
Man, they may start splitting their games up, too. I'm just kidding.
You know, it's funny on our podcast, Doug Lamble and I were kicking around the idea of, like, what other franchises should share a couple of cities? And he suggested, you know, let's take, the bird names and share them. So the Blue Jays and Orioles.
Oh.
Baltimore gets tired of watching the Orioles. Toronto gets tired of watching the Blue Jays. So they just switch cities.
Man.
What do you think?
No doubt. I saw that a couple other teams now are starting to put up netting to, protect the fans. I'm interested in wondering what the Major League Baseball, take on this. Are they going to do something maybe after the season or nothing at all and let the individual parks make those decisions at clubs?
Yeah, you know, they've been treading really carefully on this issue for a long time, and my sense is that is because they're worried about potential lawsuits. If you dictate that netting should go to a certain point in a stadium, and then a team hasn't gotten that done, and somebody gets hit with a ball, what the implications are. So all they've ever done is recommend to teams, this is what we would like you to consider, study, blah, blah, blah. But I think that as we go along, teams are going to be strongly encouraged to do this, but not required to do it. But it's got to happen. You can't put your fans in that position where they're at risk of being badly hurt while they're sitting in the best seats, while you're encouraging them to engage in all kinds of stuff on their phones, by the way.
Speaking of Jason Stark from The Athletic, Jason, the Braves are starting to pull away. In the National League East, they've already made one move, getting Dallas Keuchel. Do you think they'll add somebody else?
Mark, I'd really be surprised if they don't add to their bullpen. Now, look, it's hard not to wonder how much money they can take on after they sign Keuchel. But they will do something. You know, it's funny, as aggressive as Alex Anthopoulos was in Toronto, he's been really careful in Atlanta, for the most part, not to overpay in prospects for anything, not to overpay in dollars for anything. I'm going to guess that they wait until the deadline gets closer. then you know, you have more sellers. It's more of a buyer's market. The prices tend to come down, especially on bullpen arms. And, hey, they're 5.5 games up in the division. It gives them the luxury to wait.
What about CC Sabathia? You know, obviously we judge player or pitchers these days by different parameters. It used to be, you know, 300 wins, although, you know, there were some notable exceptions. He's over 250. He's reached a lot of benchmarks. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think he's a really hard call, to be honest with you. I talked about him on MLB Network the other day. CC's got a lot of what you would look for, obviously, right? He's got the Cy Young. He's got the big October moments. He's got 250 wins, which is like the new 300. He's got 3,000 strikeouts. His narrative is really good. When you look beyond that, though, the one thing that's kind of troubling is if he were elected, he would have the third highest ERA of any pitcher elected since 1900. Now, he's done it in the AL East, but his underlying metrics are not as good as his storyline. So this could be one of those clashes between narrative and numbers. And I think narrative tends to win those tussles, but I love CC. I would love to see him in. I want to vote for him. I'm still wrestling with this one.
Jason, great stuff as always. We'll speak to you next week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
That's Jason Stark, of course, from The Athletic and the MLB Network. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today.